Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9. Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. Text number 41. Evam svakarma patitam. Evam svakarma patitam bhava vaitaranyam. Evam svakarma patitam bhava vaitaranyam. An onya janma marana shana bita bitam. Anyonya janma marana shana bita bitam. Pasham janma sva para vigraha vaira maitram. Pashan janam svapara vigraha vaira maitram. Ante ti parcharapi vihi mudamadya. Ante ti parcharapi vihi mudamadya. Evam svakarma patitam bhava vaitaranyam. Anyonya janma marana shana bita bitam. Pashan janma svapara vigraha vaira maitram. Ante te para charapi vihi mudamadya. Evam svakarma patitam bhava vairayanam. Anyonya janma marana shana bita bitam. Pashan janam svapara vigraha vaira maitram. Ante ti para charapi pihi mudamadya. Ante ti para charapi bhihi mudamadya. Evam svakarma patitam bhava vaitaranyam. Ladies.
Evam svakarma patitam bhava vaitaranyam.
evam in this way. Svakarma patitam, fallen because of the reactions of one's own material activities. Bhava, compared to the world of nescience, birth, death, disease, and old age. Vaitaranyam, in the river known as Vaitarani, which lies in front of the doorway of Yamaraj, the king, the superintendent of death. Anya, anya, one after another. Janma, birth. Marana, death. Ashana, different types of eating. Bita, bitam, being exceedingly afraid. Pashan, seeing. Janam, the living entity. Swa, one's own. Para, of others. Vigraha, in the body. Vairamaitam, considering friendship and enmity. Hanta, alas. Iti, in this way. Paracara, O you who are on the other side of the river of death. Piprihi, kindly save us from all, kindly save us all from this dangerous condition. Mudam, we are all foolish, bereft of spiritual knowledge. Adya, today, because you are personally present here. Translation and purport by Sarangesh Srila Prabhupada. My dear Lord, you are always transcendentally situated on the other side of the river of death, but because of the reactions of our own activities, we are suffering on this side. Indeed, we have fallen into this river and are repeatedly suffering the pains of birth and death and eating horrible things. Now kindly look upon us, not only upon me, but also upon all others who are suffering. And by your causeless mercy and compassion, deliver us and maintain us. Purport. Prahlad Maharaj, a pure Vaishnava, prays to the Lord not only for himself but for all other suffering living entities. There are two classes of Vaishnavas, the Bhajanandis and the Goshtianandis. The Bhajanandis worship the Lord only for their own personal benefit, but the Goshtianandis try to elevate all others to Krishna consciousness so that they may be saved. Fools who cannot perceive repeated birth and death and other miseries of materialistic life cannot be sure of what will happen to them in their next birth. Indeed, those foolish, materially contaminated rascals have manufactured an irresponsible way of life that does not consider the next life. They do not know that according to one's own activities, one receives a body selected from 8,400,000 species. These rascals have been described in Bhagavad Gita as Duskritino Mudha. Non-devotees, those who are not Krishna conscious, must engage in sinful activities, and therefore they are Mudhas, fools and rascals. They are such fools that they do not know what will happen to them in their next life. Although they see varieties of living entities, varieties of living creatures eating abominable things, pigs eating stool, crocodiles eating all kinds of flesh, and so on, they do not realize that they themselves, because of their practice of eating all kinds of nonsense in this life, will be destined to eat the most abominable things in their next life. A Vaishnava is always afraid of such an abominable life, and to free himself from such horrible conditions, he engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord. The Lord is compassionate to them, and therefore he appears for their benefit. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata adbhutanam adharmasya taratmanam shijamyam. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, so descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself, Bhagavad Gita 4:7. The Lord is always ready to help the fallen souls, but because they are fools and rascals, they do not take to Krishna consciousness and abide by the instructions of Krishna. Therefore, although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is personally the Supreme Lord Krishna, He comes as a devotee to preach the Krishna consciousness movement. Yada deke tarakaha Krishna upadesh. One must therefore become a sincere servant of Krishna. Amara anaya guruhana tara e desha. C.C. Madhyalila 7.128. One should become a guru and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world simply by preaching the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Omagana tamananda shagadanjana shalakaya chakshum militam ina tasmai shi gurave namaha shi chaitanya manobhistam stapitam ina bhutale sarvapakadamayam dadati svaparantikam. Hare Krishna. Very wonderful to again visit New Dwarka. The deity worship here is so excellent. It's such a feast for the eyes. So thank you for all the pujaris who dress the deities so nicely. So, how many of you are in Krishna consciousness following Srila Prabhupada for less than a year? Okay, we need some more new people here. We have to go out and preach a little more. They're the life, huh? Because some of us who are getting older, we realize that, you know, this life doesn't last forever, so we need young people here all the time to keep everything going, to carry the movement on. Oops. And how many of you between 5 and 10 years? Okay. All right. Got to keep that pipeline filled up. Yeah. Got to keep the pipeline full because some are going out the other side, unfortunately, as we see, as for dear God, Brother Keshava Prabhu, last weekend. So, everyone's born into this world as a spirit soul. And by contact with the modes of material nature, we become diverted into various species of life and also in this human life, as Prabhupada's pointing out in this purport. Most of the people in the world today fall in these categories of Duskritina, miscreants. Namam duskritino mudha prapadyante naradama maya pritiganam ashram bhava asita. So four kinds of foolish people. Mudhas, most of the world today, mudhas. This means fools. They are practically speaking no different than animals. Simply eating, sleeping, mating, defending, and not knowing much more than that. Then comes Naradama. Now, this is a particularly interesting class that Prabhupada writes some interesting things about. He says, the civilized human beings are those who have regulated the principles of social, political, and religious life. And those who are socially and politically developed, but who have no religious principles, must be considered Naradama. So this is, again, another large section of the population. People who have, considering themselves very polished, social, civilized, and but they have no conception of spiritual life. So, of course, Los Angeles is such a hub for such people. It's very beautiful here, a very beautiful city. But not many people here, let's say, understand or are following so much spiritual life. They're very distracted by the glitter of Maya. Next comes the Maya Pritigana. This would be what? The intelligentsia, the so-called academics, ones whose knowledge is stolen by illusion. And they are, of course, misleading many of the young people. Of course, one cannot, practically speaking, be an academic these days without being an atheist. And even if you aren't, you have to be a closet theist. So such is the nature of the educational system. And then the last class are the asuras. The asuras make up about 3 to 5% of the people. The modern word for asuras is psychopath. Psychopath means a person who has no consciousness. No conscience. That is, they're not in touch with the super soul. They have no connection, no understanding of what's right and wrong. Or to put it another way, whatever they want to do, that's right. And anyone who tries to oppose me is wrong. And we see that these people have gotten themselves placed in very high positions in society. In fact, several years ago, there was one article stating that psychopaths, they make the best traders, right? The best economic on Wall Street, right? So the Wall Street traders, we hear about those guys. They're the ones who are making, dealing with all the derivatives in which they make a lot of money by what? By raising up the price of food so high that nobody can eat. If we remember back to 2008, the price of food went up so high that people were rioting, I think, 15 or 16 cities around the world because they could no longer eat. It wasn't because there was a shortage of food, but it was because the traders, they were driving up the price and taking billions of dollars. So not only are they in the financial institutions, but also everywhere throughout the society. The heads of the corporations, the heads of their politicians, and so on. So these people, as Krishna states in the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, they engage in unbeneficial, horrible works meant to destroy the world. They do not have the best interests of the people at heart. And what's going on is that they're running everything into the ground. The 2008 economic crisis. This did not happen by chance. It was not an accident. It was not a, oops, shucks, we tried our best, but things just somehow or other got away from us. It wasn't like that at all. Actually, it was deliberately created. Yes. Deliberately created. Why? Again, because they found a way to manipulate the markets to drive up the price of housing. And this was collusion between the government and the bankers. Drive up the price of housing and then create a crash. I've explained this in a paper that I wrote on my website. It's called Economic Chernobyl. Chernobyl, this nuclear reactor that exploded in Ukraine. I used to live about 30 kilometers from there in a city called Chernigov. And while I was living there, I met some of the relatives of people who worked in and died in that tragedy. And they explained to me that actually it wasn't an accident that happened there. What had happened was that the operators of the reactor, they deliberately jammed the shutoff mechanisms because they wanted to push the reactor beyond its design limits. So they did that, and of course the thing exploded and created such a disaster. There's Maya Pritigana, Asuras, these kind of people. They're creating terrible things meant to destroy the world. So this is the kind of world we live in. And we can see that a lot of people who understand, if you're paying attention to what's going on in the world, there's a lot of people who are very afraid because they see what's going on and they say, something is very wrong. We have to do something. Somebody please help. So there's a organization, the European Sociological Association. They have their annual meeting. And they had a call for papers, and I looked at that. And they were saying there, basically, help. We don't know what to do. We're willing to listen to anybody. So I submitted an abstract to that group, and they accepted it, and we have the opportunity to speak there. But the point is that a lot of people are becoming very desperate, very afraid, and they even speak openly that, you know, that things are very wrong, that in fact there's great evil in the world today. Yes, of course, we understand that. There is evil in the world. Krishna speaks about it here in this verse in Sloka in Bhagavad Gita, 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Yes, these things are very real. So what's going to be done? What can be done about this? 42 years ago, Srila Prabhupada was speaking here in Los Angeles in this temple, I believe, 1972, we had this property. Prabhupada was speaking here and he said, you know, imagine this, 72, the oldest devotee was 6 or 7 years in the movement. So how many 6 or 7 year devotees again we have? Just a handful, just a few. So imagine Prabhupada told them, only you can save this world. Me? What? Who am I? Is this a young devotee? Yeah, Prabhupada said that. And then later in 1977, in Mayapur, in a room conversation, Srila Prabhupada was telling the devotees, save all of them. And if you can't save all of them, save as many as you can. So how? How to do that? How is it that the devotees, they're the only ones that can save this world? Because we understand how it works. We can understand what the problem is. What's the problem? Too much tamagun. These asuras, these maya pritiganas, all these people, actually they're pure spirit soul. They're not any different than you and I, except they've covered up by the gunas very deeply. The problem is not them per se. The problem is too much tamagun. This world is, now the gunas, this is a zero-sum game. What do they call it? Zero-sum game, right? When one goes up, the other one goes down. So we've seen, even in our lifetime, we can remember back to the 1950s, it was a different world back then. There was a lot more goodness, and we didn't have the kinds of problems that we have today. So what's different between then, 40 years ago, or 50 years ago, and now? More tamagun, less sattvagun. That's it, pure and simple. And the result is chaos, destruction, disorder, mayhem, and so on. So how can we change this tamagun? What are we going to be able to do about it? Who can fix this problem? The Goshtiyanandis, the Brahmanas, those who are actually concerned about the welfare of others. This is generally the Brahminical class of persons. Now, I'd like to explain a little bit about the differences in the Varnas so that we can understand how this kind of works. And to do that, I want to use an analogy or an anecdote. Let's consider that a young man, he goes to a construction site. He wants to get a job. And so the foreman says, great, we need some workers. What can you do? He said, well, I don't have any training, but I got two strong arms, two strong legs, and a strong back. And he says, fine, carry this wood from here, put it over there. Carry those bricks from there, put them over there. So he puts them to work as a laborer. This is otherwise known as Shudra. Doesn't really know what to do, but he can follow instructions and thereby contribute to the benefit of society. So our young man, perhaps he's not really a Shudra, but he doesn't have any training. So on the job for a while, he observes the different craftsmen, and he sees, oh, look at the carpenters. He said, I think I want to be a carpenter. So he becomes then a carpenter helper, learns how to cut a straight line and hammer nails without banging the wood up. And so he gets kind of a handle on that. And then pretty soon, after a few years, he's got enough experience that when some other new guy comes on the job, he can give him direction. Do this, do that, and so on. He becomes a foreman. Now he's no longer just taking directions, but he's working with other people. He knows what to do first, second, third. And so then he continues on a little while longer, and he says, well, shoot, you know, I'm working for this boss. He's making all the money. I can build a house. So he goes and pulls the permits, gets a loan from the bank, starts pulling it all together. He hires his tradesmen now. And then he's become what we might call a Vaishya, right? He's got an understanding what needs to do in what order. He's working with the longer timeline, and he's dealing with people. So he continues with that. Maybe he then becomes a developer. He's actually going to develop sub-communities. And when he becomes involved in that, he realizes, well, there's a lot of politics here because you have to, you have to get a whole area. You have to deal with land use and what people want and so on like that. So now he gets involved in politics. He becomes a mayor. He runs for office, becomes a mayor. Is it more like a Kshatriya now? Because he's looking after what? A larger number of people. What has to be done for the whole community? What's a benefit for the whole community? What's for the common good? And then finally, after years of that and struggling with all the politics, he realizes only God can help us. So he retires and takes up spiritual life. Huh? So this is... And not just at that point, not just by himself, but by for the purpose of training others to understand how important God is in our world. That if we don't have God, it'll be chaos. So, Brahman Kshatriya Vaishya Sudra, what do we have? We have people who are working with more responsibility, increasing responsibility, with an increasing time horizon, able to see things in a longer time frame, and then also more and more interested in the welfare of others. So the Shudra, basically, he's a person who's not, he doesn't feel himself competent to defend himself against the world. He needs shelter. He's not thinking about anybody but himself, really, perhaps his family. He doesn't have the ability to do that. As we go up in the varnas, what Prabhupada calls the higher orders of life, they have to become more and more interested in the welfare of others. This is a symptom. So that we come to the brahmanas. The brahmanas, they're supposed to be looking after the welfare of the entire society. And this is what Prabhupada wanted to create. He wanted to reestablish a brahminical class. Why? For this very purpose. Because the brahmanas, they are looking after the welfare of everyone. Now, I'd just like to make some clarification between the brahmanas and the Vaishnavas, because we understand that a Vaishnava, he is more than a brahmana. So what does this mean? Vaishnava and... Vaishnava, what is he? Why is he more than a Brahmana? Because he understands the purpose of the Vedas. Vedaischar Saveraham Eva Vedyo Vedantakrit Veda Ved Eva Chaham. By the Vedas I am to be known. The Brahmanas, they may only be following Karmakanda section of the Vedas or Varnashram Dharma or something like that. And so they're not really actually understanding the whole point. But the Vaishnava, he understands the point of the Vedas, and he's following that. So even the neophyte Vaishnava is considered more than a Brahmana. Why? Because he's serving the purpose of the Vedas. This, and now we read that Prabhupada writes that the Vaishnava, that he can act in any capacity. Now, sometimes devotees confuse us and think that this means that the Vaishnava becomes some kind of like Superman. That, you can be Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, all four of them at the same time. We don't really see that in practice. What does it mean that the Vaishnava can do anything? It means that he's not restricted by his varna in terms of his service of the Lord. For example, if we go to Puri, at the kitchen there, they're cooking 54 offerings for Lord Jagannath every day. And the person who washes the pots, he can't cook. Or the person who's cooking, he doesn't wash the pots or clean the floor. They have very strict, we might call it a union over here, right? What you can do, what you can't do. But for a Vaishnava, We don't have that kind of restriction. We can go on the altar, worship the Lord, then come out. If there's some spill here on the floor, we can clean the floor of the temple. We can go outside, clean the yard. All of these things, there's no restriction. Why? Because it's all devotional service. It's all meant for the pleasure and satisfaction of Krishna. So, the Vaishnava, in this sense, is more than a Brahmana. But the Vaishnava is also concerned about the welfare of this entire world. Understanding Bhagavad Gita, he has to understand that it's up to him. He has responsibility, not just to himself, to the whole world. So when Prabhupada says, only you can save this world, that means us, because we understand this Bhagavad Gita. And how are we going to do that? When there's a rise of tamagun, when the demons become strong, Krishna always incarnates. Why? Because Vishnu, he is the maintainer of the universe. The demons, they will make a mess of things. And so Vishnu, as the maintainer, he has to always come and see that there's order and straighten out the mess. So how does Vishnu come in this age? Now the asuras are very strong. And where is Vishnu? Where is Krishna? In his holy name. In this age, he manifests in his holy name. But it's up to us, Vaishnavas, to vibrate that holy name. To go out and chant the Lord's holy name for the purification of this entire world, for the purification of all the fallen conditioned souls, to lift them up. So this is the Gaudiya Nandi. The Gaudiya Nandi is the person who's out on Harinam Sankirtan, who's out distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. And the Gaudiya Nandis, I'm okay, you're okay. I'll sit in the temple and study or something. So this is modern Gaudiya Nandi. Harinam Sankirtan. Modern Bhajiya Nandi, no, he's not out there Harinam Sankirtan. It's a serious situation. There's a fire in the house. Just like if there's a fire. Immediately there's alarm. Everybody's running around. You got to deal with it immediately. There's no time to waste. So there's a fire in the house today. This world is really out of control. Yesterday, just last night, somebody sent me an email. Said in Europe, the European Union's trying to pass a law that you cannot, any gardener cannot save seeds and plant a garden without having a permit. Can you imagine that? This is how crazy it's getting. That they want to control all the food, down to the individual gardener. I don't know if that counts flowers, if you got to go get a permit now to plant flowers for the Lord out in front. It's getting wild. There's a fire in the house. This tamagun is rampant. So, what are we going to do? Harinam, 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 Eva Kivalam, Kalo Nisteva, 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 Gatiranyata, Nisteva, Nisteva. There's no other way. There's no other way to save this world. And these fools and rascals, they don't know what to do. They don't know what to do because they don't understand the problem. They think, okay, the Occupy movement, God bless them, we'll go and protest, but they don't know what to do. They don't have any platform what to do. The Transition Town people. Anybody know what's Transition Town? Not here in Los Angeles. How about Peak Oil? No? Okay. Peak oil means that the oil's going to run out. It's a finite resource. And somebody back in 1970 or so figured out that half the oil is going to be used up pretty soon. And that means a declining supply at the same time when there's increasing demand. So the Chinese, the Indians, those countries, they're consuming more and more. They got more and more cars, more and more electricity demand, and so on. So the demand's going up, the supply's going down. This means that pretty soon there's a problem, there's a crunch. How are you going to live? How are you going to live in this city without oil? So there's some forward-thinking people, they started to think, well, gosh, maybe we shouldn't just wait until the oil is gone. Maybe we should think ahead and see what we can do to try to maybe live without oil. Huh? So they've created what they call the transition towns. There's more than 1,000 such communities all over the world where the people are talking about how we're going to minimize our dependence on oil. Good. But some of the leading thinkers in that group, they've come to the conclusion that you can't do it. That city means oil, at least with the energy sources that we have today. And so they've come to the conclusion that, well, we're going to have to start over. We're going to have to go out to the village and redesign everything and build it from scratch. Or have we heard that before? Srila Prabhupada, he was telling us something like that 50 years ago. Huh? Prabhupada was way ahead of his time. So that's the situation. Only you can save this world. Even for the transition town people, even for these people, if they want to go live in the villages, how are they going to do that? They talk about the gift economy today. A lot of people, this is out there in the discussion. We want to have a gift economy because if you have a gift economy, you don't have these problems. You can't have an economic crisis if you have a gift economy because nobody can manipulate it and cheat it. So that's a good idea. So they want to go to the village and have a gift economy. But how's that going to work? Modern society is organized with money. It's an organized or modern society. So if you get rid of money and you're going to have a gift economy, how are you going to organize society? This is called Vanashram Dharma. This is a way of organizing society based on religious principles, not based on money. So they need us. They need our help. And we have to understand what we have. We have the solution to the problems of the world. And many times we don't even realize that. Because we may not be paying attention. There's one bumper sticker. How did it go? If you're not outraged, you're not paying attention. Right? Something like that. Yeah. So, wake up. Understand what's going on here. There's people who are looking for leadership. We can give that to them, but we have to take these books and we have to apply this philosophy to solving the problems in the world today, and we can do that. That's our job. So, I want to encourage you to think along those lines. Increase Harinam Sankirtan. Increase book distribution. Everybody, make it your mission to save the world. Personally. Yes. It's all of our responsibility. We have to do our part. And working together. While working together, we created this wonderful temple. So many wonderful temples all over the world. The work's not done yet. We have to save the world. So, get with it. Hare Krishna. Questions or comments? I'm sorry? Slow down a little bit. My ears can't keep up with you.
Hare Krishna. You said that the Vaishnavas carry out the main point of the Vedas.
Right.
So if you were to encapsulate the main message of the Vedas, what is it?
Oh, Vedas cha savaram eva vedyo vedantakrit vedavid eva cha aham. By the Vedas I am to be known. The point of the Vedas is to bring everyone to Krishna. So Krishna points this out in Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, in fact, Lord Krishna, he's explaining to Arjuna the new system of religion. Paritanaya sarunam vinashaya chadushkitam dharmasam stapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. That he comes to establish the principles of religion and to annihilate the miscreants. So Krishna, he's done that with Bhagavad Gita. In fact, in chapter 2, Lord Krishna telling Arjuna that We're not going to follow the Karmakanda section of Vedas anymore. On 239, Krishna says, so far I've explained to you the analytical knowledge of Sankhya philosophy. Now listen to how you can work without fruit of result. Now this is a shocking statement. If you put yourself in the context in which that statement is made, 5,000 years ago, they were following Karmakanda. That's what they did. They wanted karma. And Krishna says, well, now we're not going to do karma anymore. We're going to work without fruit of result. And then he goes on to explain how devotional service, the art of devotional service throughout Bhagavad Gita. And this then becomes the principle of religion for this age. Of course, then, let's say, explained in more detail by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the point is to come to know Krishna. And we have a wonderful, wonderful opportunity actually to be born in this Kali Yuga at this time is a real blessing for those who can take up Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna's, he's made it easy. Simply by chanting his holy name, chanting, dancing, and feasting. This process is very simple. And if we just apply it in our lives, we will get the result in one lifetime. Whereas before, it took many lifetimes to achieve liberation. And even then, they didn't go to Goloka Vrindavan, they would go to Vaikuntha. So by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have access to that, the paramount, the epitome, the height of love of God available in Goloka Vrindavan. So we must take advantage of it. To lose this opportunity, we can't imagine. I mean, that's the problem, really. We can't appreciate what's before us. We have to slap ourselves a bit. Wake up. Because this is unparalleled, practically, in history, to have this opportunity.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for a wonderful class. I was hearing you saying about the qualities, about the Brahmas and the Kshatriyas, and one can't be the other one. In this age of Kali, can we all be like a mixture of like all those qualities?
The what?
A mixture of all the qualities, of the classes, the Brahmas, Kshatriyas, the Sudras, and the... Could we be like mixtures in this age of Kali?
Oh, yeah, sure. This is called Varna Sankara. Means mixed up varnas. We're all mixed up. Why? Because our parents, or rather our forefathers, did not follow strictly these rules. There's rules of marriage between the different classes. And in that way, it would keep these varnas more pure. Prabhupada writes in the fifth canto, I believe it is, he says, today you can't tell who's who. We're like what we call Heinz 57, right? So we see that instead of having one inclination, maybe say we have some tendency for Brahmana, some tendency for Shudra, or, you know, Vaishya, things like that. Sure, this is our nature. This is why it's actually much more difficult for us to be properly situated in life. The Vanashram social system is kind of like a social machine, like a bicycle, right? Bicycle's a simple machine. Just a small number of parts, and when you assemble it properly, it works very nicely. So there's a social machine called Vanashram Dharma, and if the parts are all put in a proper place, it can work nicely. But they're all mixed up now. You know, we've got the chain where the handlebars are supposed to be, and we're sitting on the wheel, and you know, we're putting the pedals where the wheels are supposed to go, and it doesn't work very good, right? So the whole thing is covered over by money. The asuras, they've created this financial system that allows them to cover all the defects of modern civilization. And so it looks good. It looks like it's functioning. Why? Because there's stuff. We have stuff. But nobody's happy. 25% people taking psychotropic medication, just to function day to day. And the rest of them are taking alcohol or pot or something, right? Everyone's suffering.
Because they don't know who they are. They don't have proper engagement. So again, we know how to sort out the mess, right? We're the transcendental doctor, right? Understanding how this world is created, how it's put together, how the parts are supposed to fit together, we can understand how to fix the thing. That's our job. So we have to get to work. We have to teach people, train them, help them understand how this world's supposed to work, explain to them. And it doesn't, that's not even, practically speaking, transcendence. You know, we just have to, what I'm teaching with spiritual economics, I'm teaching about the gunas. Just about, you know, how do we function? How do we actually learn to be happy? How can we function in this world? So, and then Krishna consciousness can come later. But, you know, we have to take this transcendental science and apply it to the world. Anyway, a little long-winded. Somebody else? Is that okay? Give them the mic.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. My question is more in regarding to devotees, a devotee's role in Krishna consciousness, and where does the guna come in? If Krishna says, Chaturvarna Maya Shishtam, it's my system, and then in one hand we're saying, in this age, everybody has mixed gunas. Uh-huh. So when a devotee joins, let's say, in my own personal experience, I've seen in Bombay sometimes new bhaktas will join with a very high qualification, done a PhD or something, and sometimes in the training they have expected to, you know, do manual service for what, according, they might even be from a Brahmana family. There was one Bengali, I remember, a Bengali boy, very, high caste, very well educated. So I guess my question is it helpful in our society to, if a person has a certain incline towards something, to rather give him that service, or all the time expect devotees to do, of course, the ultimate highest goal to do everything for Krishna, but for his benefits to put certain people in certain places. That's right.
Yeah, we sometimes, of course, the managers are in a difficult spot. They have to get things done. And there's a tendency to say, well, surrender, Prabhu. Right? Is that what you do, Suvas? Surrender. And surrender sometimes... Okay. Surrender sometimes means that you do the needful. And Prabhupada told us like that also. Do the needful. Like, just like, you know, the world is a dirty place. We all have to clean. You know, in your house, you have to clean it up. It doesn't matter what varna you are. You have to clean. Right? And we have to eat, so cooking has to be there. So these things everybody does. But in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is also telling Arjuna to surrender, but to surrender to what? His own nature. Arjuna is saying, no, I'm going to go to the forest. Krishna says, no, it's not your nature. Your nature is a kshatriya. You have to stay here. Do your duty according to your nature. Now, the bigger problem is we don't know our own nature. You know, I ask people, sometimes I ask in class, let me ask you, how many of you know what you like to do? This is a typical reaction. We get about... Usually most 30% of the hands go up because this is what? Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. We're alienated from our own selves. Why? Because we're working for money instead of according to our nature. We just take any old job that'll give us enough money to survive, and then so most of the people are unhappy. Your varna is very simple. What do you like to do? You just have to know yourself to find out what you like to do. Now, in that regard, yes, we should find engagement in Krishna consciousness according to our nature. There's what's called emergency duties. So sometimes there's emergency and you don't get to do what you like to do. But you can't stay on an emergency basis for years and years and years. Well, it doesn't work. And we've seen when, you know, we've tried to apply that surrender idea in that way, in the past, it doesn't work. Devotees leave. So, best thing is to know our own nature, and then we have to find a way to engage ourselves in, say, when we're young devotees, we depend on our leaders to engage us properly in Krishna's service. But then after we have some maturity, we have to understand ourselves. What am I going to do? What contribution am I going to make to this Krishna consciousness movement? And we carve that out for ourselves, and then we can find it and you know, become happy doing that service. Okay? Sabasguru?
What about the idea of, like, accepting the mission of the Acharya?
The what?
Accepting the mission of the Acharya, and regardless of what our nature is, what if our nature doesn't fit into the mission of the Acharya? So do you not do anything? Or do you really absorb yourself in the understanding of the mission of the Acharya and try to fit yourself in that position as a spiritual person and not try to worry about your nature or your desires, but you just think of the desire of the spiritual master or the Acharya?
Right. Perhaps I didn't make myself clear earlier. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalona Steva, Nisteva, Nisteva, Gatiranyata. Everybody can go on Harinam. Doesn't matter what your nature is. We're all, what? Part and parcel of Krishna. And when we engage in Krishna's service in Harinam Sankirtan, we certainly become blissful. That's our nature. That's our real nature. You know, this other one, this is temporary. You know, we just have to tolerate that, right? But we get over that by engaging ourselves in Krishna's devotional service. Now, there's different kinds of service. Everyone can do Harinam. Not everyone can do book distribution. There's some, there's two kinds of people, basically. There's introverts and extroverts. Introverts are not so inclined to do book distribution, but there's other things that they can do. And combined together, we can push on everything. So, anyway, it's a big mission. There's lots to do. You know, cooking, of course, is a very important part of our mission, and that then involves cleaning. So there's something for everybody. There's no lack of engagement. But the main engagement, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay? What about the Prabhu?
In line, what you're saying is that, you know, there is emergency service, but that everyone, you know, will find their nature. Just, you know, I'm reminded that part of the qualification of the spiritual master himself is that he understands the psychosomatic nature of his disciple, and so he's able to engage him accordingly. But also, you know, Prabhupada was, just because of his own nature, he loved Krishna so much, so that just being in his presence, we became inspired to love Krishna so much that we were able to, at least for a certain period of time, overcome our lower nature. But we can see that, you know, if in general devotees didn't end up finding, you know, engagement according to their nature, that in many cases their spiritual life became, you know, very troublesome.
Is that a question or a comment?
I guess it's a comment. You can comment
on it. I guess so. Anything else, ladies? More? Okay, thank you very much for your association. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.